The talk that you are about to listen to was given by Brother Boniface, speaking in direct voice. We have called this talk The Way of Life. At the beginning of each seance, Mickey, the guide to the circle, has a few words to say.
And how are you?
Hello, Mickey, darling.
And how are you?
Fine, Alfredo.
Alfredo, you've got a new name. How are you, Alfredo?
Oh, wonderful.
Well, it's a matter of opinion. I was asking about your health, not your character.
Health is good, my character, I believe, is good, Mickey.
Well,
I try to keep it so anyway.
Well, you're not too bad anyway. You're part in the crowd.
I hope so.
Won't he, Andy?
I think so, Mickey.
There's not much wrong with you.
Lovely to hear you again, Mickey.
Yeah, a bit of a bind with that thing, didn't you?
Well, he hasn't got quite used to it, I don't think, Mickey.
Is it working?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes, it's working.
Cheer up.
Morning, Brother Boniface.
Boniface, yeah.
Lovely to hear you again.
You have a question, my son?
I haven't a question in mind.
Oh.
But I'd like you to speak on anything that you like to choose. You gave us a wonderful talk last time.
Very much about you and about the work and the endeavor that we make to transmit the message of spirit to the four corners of your globe. And I am ever conscious of the many needs of so many. When one realizes the enormity of the task of spirit, when one is conscious as we ever are of the untold millions of souls in your world of all nationality who are seeking oft times blindly and more often than not, without any realization of their innermost desires and needs. When one realizes the immensity of the task of spirit to bring this reality of life into the hearts and the consciousness of all peoples, when we consider the conditions of your world and the many separating influences that are predominant, particularly today, differences which separate men to such an extent that reason seems to have no place in their thinking, where materialism is so strong, even among those who profess to have religious faith and belief, there is intolerance, there is so much that causes concern to us. We come that we might break down the barriers that separate men from men of all nation and creed. We come that we might open the door of knowledge and bring the influence of the true spirit that all men might see, and having seen, endeavour to strive with all their might to bring God's kingdom into your world, to change, to influence, to bring that peace which we know of into your world, that you might truly be at one with each other, dwelling in love and brotherliness, with an understanding of God's will and purpose, so that all the separating influences might be driven away, but we realize the enormity of the task, the tremendous needs of your world, and we realize that we but merely touch, as it were, the surface with our message. It goes here and there. It is listened to by many, but in comparison to the needs of the world, so few are conscious of the efforts made by the power of the Spirit. But we are ever striving, ever willing to sacrifice, to give of ourselves completely and wholly to this great task. Throughout the ages, man has sought truth, and occasionally he has stumbled upon it almost by accident. But unfortunately, he has not pursued it, and oft times he has covered it up with so much dross that the perfect beauty of its metal cannot be seen or understood. That truth which we bring of life eternal, which so oft times is obscured, even by those who profess to know and to understand, even by those who sometimes endeavour to propagate it, even then, quite oft times, that which we bring and give to your world so freely with love is distorted. We do not ask for perfection from you, for we know that is impossible, for we ourselves are far from perfect, and yours is in a sense an imperfect world. It is in a state of change, constantly changing, and has been since its birth. And man himself never stands still. He's always moving and changing, and he cannot find that which would bring him true peace and true understanding. He's ever seeking for material things, and in consequence ever bringing change upon himself and upon the world in which he lives. It is a fluctuating world of fancy and unreality, and yet to man it is a world of reality, and he cannot see further than each day's so-called progression. He plans for the morrow, drawing to some extent upon past experience, but never learning the lessons that the past has taught. There are always wars and rumors of wars, always strife and uncertainty in the hearts of men. And the very things that man might be doing to strengthen himself in every sense, spiritually, materially, mentally, socially, in every sense, he ignores the realities and strives more and more for the unrealities, for the things that must pass away, striving more and more for things that sooner or later he must leave behind. looking upon spiritual things, and the world of the spirit in particular, as a world, if it exists to him at all, of a world of unreality, of dreams, insubstantial, and yet all the time within his subconscious mind, within his innermost self, is the realization that he must eventually depart from the world of reality as he thinks it to be. Man amasses many things, individually and collectively, nationally, and yet all these things are insubstantial and have no foundation other than from within one's innermost thought and self. And though it is true that many of man's creative beauties and joys are to be found in spirit, it is only because these things, of which I particularly speak now, were created by men with spiritual leanings. And yet perhaps even so, they had no full consciousness of the spiritual reality which is the foundation of their work of art, whether it is in some glorious painting or some music which brings solace and joy to mankind. Whatever it is fundamentally of the spirit and the mind, though the artist himself may be as material as the next man, yet there is a spiritual power that temporarily is enabled to break loose and be creative in your world in some form or shape, with great power and great meaning and great purpose in music and in art, or in some other form or shape. This has a substance because it is of the spirit, and these things live beyond so-called death, for these are truly things of the mind and of the spirit, and have substance and value. But the vast majority of men are concerned with material things which have no substance, no value, give momentary pleasure and satisfaction, but have no meaning in the scheme of life eternal. How many are they in your world who strive and struggle for so much which within themselves they know to be valueless? A whole lifetime is spent in amassing perhaps a fortune, or creating one, or building up some kind of an empire in a business sense, material sense, which can bring no real lasting joy nor satisfaction, indeed oftentimes brings grave problems and endangers the spiritual integrity and advancement of the individual, and oftentimes makes him separate from the rest of humanity, because he cannot freely mix, and cannot, as it were, freely be of others or with others. He becomes suspicious of friendships, becomes suspicious of others, their motives, their desires, thinking them always to be after that which he possesses. Truly, it is better to be poor than to be rich. Though there are many poor who may listen to the voice of spirit and cannot see nor accept such a statement as truth. And yet one can see in history, one can see backwards in time, how the great teachers and the great philosophers the great peacemakers, the great sons of man, who are truly poor, as the world sees it, and yet they were full of wealth within themselves, because they were striving for the things which were eternal and lasting, and they were striving to give truth to mankind. And they sought not one jot of the things of the material. I would say unto those who seek truly the kingdom of God, that they seek well within themselves firstly. Have the realization of what is of value. And having found that which is of value, render that which they have found unto the world, and they will see how the power of the Spirit will manifest itself within themselves and around and about them, how the truth which shall emanate from them shall open the eyes of the blind, that they may truly see that they too in turn shall seek for themselves and also become bearers of the torch of life, which cannot be extinguished because it is an eternal illumination which is truly of the spirit and not of the flesh. Though the body weakens and suffers and eventually disintegrates and has no more shape nor meaning nor power, that spirit remains. And that spirit and that power generates itself, permeating into all life, into your world, endeavoring to impress and have its effect upon the generations of men yet unborn. We see the pattern of man over untold generations of time, repeating the same mistakes, because man cannot dissociate himself from material things sufficiently to grasp the integrity and the reality of the spiritual. He looks upon when he does the things of spirit is something far removed, never for one moment thinking and considering that they are running parallel with his own day and age and his own personal life. That man is a spirit while yet inhabiting a physical material body, and that though he develops his material gifts and faculties, he does not consider for one second the spiritual faculties and gifts that are dormant within himself, that within the spiritual body there are all manner of talents that are ignored. How strange it is that you send your children to school to learn what you consider the essential lessons, essential necessities of material life, how they shall eventually better themselves so that they shall earn a living and perhaps, who knows, make a success of themselves materially and in consequence become more and more prosperous materially and seek perhaps some high place. And how little time is spent, if any at all, on teaching children, teaching the young, the things of the mind, the things of the spirit, the things that are lasting, the things that are real, the things that are by their very nature eternal and the lasting. These are the gifts that are neglected. These are the talents that are rejected. These are the parts of man that are ignored. The spiritual faculties, the spiritual realizations, the spiritual possibilities which are shunned. We come that we might bring balance into your world, balance into the lives of men, where the scales of every man's life shall be weighed fairly, where there shall be a balance between the material and the spiritual, where man shall have a material life that is joyous and full of harmony and peace, where there is sufficient and plenty for all, balance with the spiritual awareness and consciousness of God's will and purpose for each and every soul, that each life shall be blessed in every sense and in every way, that man shall learn the lessons that are necessary, that can be taught and learned in the material world, and the reason and purpose for him being there, that he may learn and gain a knowledge and experience that is essential for his ultimate spiritual welfare, but always the guiding spirit is full of understanding, full of the reality of spirit, full of the consciousness of the purpose and the meaning of spirit. In other words, if man's lives were balanced, if he were taught and brought into the realization of the spiritual power within himself, all these truths of which we speak are what Christ and the great teachers and the prophets knew of and spoke of and demonstrated. And yet, though there are many in your world who profess a religious conviction or belief and who take oft times as their leader some great soul such as Jesus or Muhammad or whoever it may be, they have not fully understood nor grasped the true meaning. They have not gone, as it were, fully into the understanding of what was meant. Man is too materialistic. Even his approach to religion, even his reaction to religion, even his adoption of religion, even in its form and its ceremony, and even in its so-called understanding of religion, man has created a false and oft-times erroneous condition. In other words, to some extent, one might almost say that he has come to terms with religion on a material basis. He's accepted religious implication and teaching, providing it will work successfully and cooperatively with himself as an individual and his particular materialistic approach and outlook. Even religion's attitude towards life eternal is in a sense materially based. He visualizes a spiritual world in which all religious men will be gathered together, living in a kind of world which is in a sense an extension of his religious service, in which prayers and hymns are sung and said, in which men of like mind will live together in a world so unreal that if it were not pathetic, it would be quite amusing. Humorous. Man cannot conceive, perhaps, with his lack of wisdom and knowledge and experience of the things of spirit, cannot conceive of a world so real as ours. We keep on saying to you that this is the real world, This is the reality world. Yours is the illusion. Because man has made it so. Because he has created a world of illusion. It is a factual, material world to himself. But he has created false values and in consequence has a false aspect and a false world in which he finds and lives himself and lives and creates for himself problems day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, and generation from generation, repeating, repeating, repeating the same mistakes, bringing misery and suffering and unhappiness because he has not realized his true potential. He has not realized that he is spiritually a son of God, that spiritually he has within himself the ability to create in the world of flesh a world of spiritual truth, of peace and awareness, consciousness. There is such force, such vital force and power in all men, if it is only understood and brought out and used. Christ knew it, all the great prophets and teachers knew it. That is why Christ, for instance, and other prophets and guides, were able to perform what the world calls miracles, for they understood the power of spirit, what it could do, what it could achieve. Nothing is impossible when you have the power of the spirit at your command, when you understand and realize its tremendous possibility, that the power of the Spirit can overcome all things, that nothing can assail it, nothing can harm it, nothing can touch it, and nothing can thwart its power. The power of the Spirit can and must and will eventually achieve all things. The time must surely come when all men shall learn of its power and its vital force for good and overcome the evils which are created because man lives a material world life instead of a spiritual life. There should be balance and understanding in all men's lives, in all peoples. The world must learn. Go on learning. Go on suffering, unfortunately. While man thinks of the world of flesh as a material world only and creates material conditions which in consequence create material woes and tragedies, so man will bring disaster upon himself and upon his children. Man must learn to see and know himself as a spiritual being in embryo. There is the power within. It is this power that shall overcome all the evils from which man suffers. You are blessed because you are given light. Let it shine where you go, giving forth the light of the Spirit. This is your task, my children, and we are ever at your elbow, ever beside you, guiding you in this work. Peace be with you.
Thank you, Brother Bond.
The power waits. Peace to you and blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mickey. Bye-bye, dear.